covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Woo, let's talk some ball as the Brewers get it done, snatch them back out of nowhere, win this game 4-3. It's 5 in a row against the Cardinals. They open this final home stretch of the first half of the 5 games in 4 days series against these Cardinals with a win, you know, really from the seat of their pants. I don't know how they won this game. Good teams find a way. We always say this over and over. Are all things perfect? No, of course not. Are things looking better than they were a couple of weeks ago? Slightly so. The pitching continues to shine. Shane Drouin earns another win. Chad Patrick is back on track. And then also Trevor McGill. We're taking it for granted. The Brewers continue to roll a season-high 23 games above 500. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio. Got another hotel room show. I'm on the road for TBS this week. But, you know, the way I sent the rundown to you, Craig, today is I put out each segment and I said just the headline of this segment was they don't ask how, they ask how many. And the Brewers, a 4-run seventh inning is all they needed today. They keep the Cardinals down beyond that, and they win this one 4-3. Was it frustrating in the first 6 innings? Absolutely. But nonetheless, somehow the cream rose and Bryce Terang's the hero today.
I always feel like any game on the road is frustrating to a certain degree. There's no question about that. But man, the fight that this team just continues to have. I mean, we talk about it. All these come from behind wins that they've been able to put together this season. And that's okay. I mean, if they don't think they're out of games, it doesn't matter, you know, how many outs are left. They find a way to, at the very least, stay in it and continue to apply pressure. And they finally got it in the seventh inning of this one. And I think going into this game, you kind of alluded to it. You know, my big question was right out of the gates here in game one of this 5-game series, which is so rare these days in baseball, can they put away St. Louis before they're done playing there on Thursday? And what a start. What a start it was. I mean, they were kind of left out there for dead for much of this game, but they found a way, put things together really nicely in that seventh inning. And then, you know, again, Drouin just does what the starting pitchers have done. He's just hung in there. You know, the defense behind him tonight wasn't very strong. And then you mentioned it too, Dom. Patrick is back, man. Two really strong innings there, and we can't say enough about what the bullpen has done here on this road trip so far.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the pitching specifically in the next segment because the numbers are jumping off the page right now. You know, offensively for the Brewers, they still are dealing with Yelich in this massive slump right now. Chirio goes 0-for-4 with a walk today. Terang's only hit was the go-ahead 2-run single in the seventh inning. Even William was 0-for-4 today, and they found a way with one through, really, let's throw Jake Bowers in here too, 1-5 in the order when a combined 2-for-20 in today's game. 2-for-20 in this game. And they still managed to win. Again, the better team just finds a way. Today, it was the bottom half of the order. The word on David Hamilton is hamstring discomfort, and that's not good news given he had 2 hits today, including a clutch double to get the Brewers on the board on an 8-pitch battle in that seventh inning. He continues to hit the ball hard, too. Even his single was 105 off the bat. Cooper put bat on ball, had a little bloop single to keep an inning going. Then he had Frelick with a hard hit double as well. I look at the frustration of the runners in scoring position for the first 6 innings of this contest, and it's valid that they still can't seem to get the situational stuff down right now that we're so used to seeing them execute. And I know I share that sentiment with a lot of fans, Craig, but the point being is that sometimes we get so used to and spoiled of the Brewers playing such a high brand and a high quality of baseball that we forget that most teams, like, this is a pretty normal game for most teams to score 4 runs and to get the job done when they needed to. I mean, it feels like the sky is falling when the Brewers go 2-for-8 with runners in scoring position. That's champagne problems, if you ask me.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, think about all the postgame shows that you've done with Augie and I this season, and Now, the Brewers have won a heck of a lot of ball games. I mean, second most in the majors, and for a good chunk of the show, we're questioning what in the world's going on with this team. You know, why can't they be better at this or be better at that? But they're really good at what they do, and that's what they do. Is not many other clubs can do this right now. They don't have, you know, 1 through 9 in the order pretty much any night that absolutely strikes fear into any opposing pitching like a Dodger team does here right now. But look where they are in the standings, right behind that LA team, and that, you know, just their brand of baseball just continues to work, which is, again, I said it yesterday on the show, this is, if you hang with this team and you're willing to watch this team, you know, 1 through 9 every night, they're just so entertaining, because 3-0 for a while can feel like they're down 6 or 7-0, but really it's nothing to this team to be able to put some things together and come back and patch it together. So another one tonight.
Yet another big inning, right? They lead baseball. I believe they're second in baseball in 4-run innings. They have the second most hits with bases loaded in baseball this season. Garrett Mitchell continues to stay hot. Granted, he didn't really scald the ball today like he has been the last couple of weeks. He had one ball scalded and then one infield single and a strikeout and a walk. I mean, Garrett Mitchell having a good stretch into the summer is encouraging to see David Hamilton. But now, again, like we said, awaiting word on how the severity of his injury. You know, I had these numbers, and I know I've said them on the show before, too, of just sort of the unsung heroes of this team, and this is one that I had uncovered previously in the year. When the Brewers just get David Hamilton on base, right, regardless of if it's a hit, if it's an error, if it's a walk, whatever it is, when David Hamilton gets on base, including tonight, the Brewers are now 30-12. I mean, that's your 9 hitter getting on base and having such a big, you know, record of saying, okay, I'm not saying he's the only reason they got 30 wins in those games. Furthermore, when he scores a run, they're 23-3. I mean, it's pretty nuts to think that it's not rocket science, I should say, to think that when your 9 hitter produces, you're going to win games. And the Brewers are bottom 5 for the season in 9 hole production this year. And to have David Hamilton have a day like today to really keep that rally going in the 7th inning with the double, with an 8-pitch battle. And for me, it's those little things that add up to the top of the order to say, okay, the cream will eventually rise, and those guys who are used to supplying the power and supplying the offense will get the job done eventually.
Well, he appears to be the epitome of how this team is going to win and lose when he's playing in these games. Those are really great numbers, and really, how many other teams can even come close to that if they put their number 9 hitter in that same mix that you're talking about here right now? So, I mean, to me, first and foremost, in my mind, right away, I'm like, please don't have that hamstring be too severe here. Make it short, you know, do what you can to get back. But you just never know. He probably won't know until, you know, tomorrow, whatever. But yeah, really, really important stuff with him. I know beginning of the year, he had a tough time playing clean defense from game to game, but I think he's really shored that up pretty nicely. And just to have his offense coming around now, but beyond bunting, I mean, that was such a weapon earlier. Now he's hanging in there and going deeper in counts like he did tonight in that 7th inning. That was a 3-2 pitch, hanging in there tight, and really drove that ball. So, you know, great to see from him. Again, let's just hope that injury isn't going to put him out for an extended period of time.
Yep, agreed entirely. And then also, of course, Bryce Turang, ambush, opposite field, RBI single. That's a trend we've seen from him lately, is the fact that he's using the opposite field again. And, you know, he got his timing a little out of whack there in the middle of June, and now he's started to come back. And yes, we're all frustrated that he's not currently named an all-star, and maybe somebody will back out and he'll get in because he certainly deserves it. But for Bryce, today I'm looking at my box score here. He didn't swing and miss at a single pitch today, right? He put the ball in the air twice. He had a ground out, and he had the opposite field single. He's your 3 hitter. He's got the timing right, and he didn't try to do too much with the bases loaded. An opposite field clean single. That's the Bryce Turang we know and love, and we know that should be an all-star.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that that turns out for him. I mean, I'd almost be surprised at this point in the way things go with, players, bowing out that he doesn't get a nod here soon enough because he certainly deserves it. The other thing too, Dom, about Bryce is, I don't know, some people can poo-poo this, but I really believe that when players make mistakes at some point in a game, whether it's early or later, and they have an opportunity to make that up. Terang had that error in the third, and it ends up leading to the two unearned runs in that third inning for St. Louis. And then for him to come through in the seventh inning, with that big two RBI knock to put the Brewers up. I mean, that to me, this is why Terang has reached that level of, borderline great player, where he just has the ability to know you can't let that bother you. Live in the moment and deliver for your team and be aggressive at the plate. Like we're starting to see so much more now that he's back on a hot streak. So I do love that in players, and I think he has definitely reached that plateau.
Yeah, I think that for Terang, and the way that the Brewers believe in him and believe in their system is that you can start to dream of just this Cheerio Terang, maybe Madei next year. Who knows? That this is a core that the Brewers have identified that they want to center this team around. And of course, Cooper Pratt and Luis Lara should be mentioned in that sentence too. But hey, the Brewers pitching only allowed one earned run today. We got to give them some love too because they were fantastic. Brewers win today 4-3. We'll get to some texts. We'll get to some live chats. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers get the victory 4-3. Whew. Stressful. This road trip's already been very stressful. The Brewers are now 5-1 against the Cardinals so far this season. More on that in a little bit. The story today, too, we just talked about the four-run seventh inning, but the pitching, only needing three pitchers today, and as bleak as it looked in that long third inning for Shane Drouin, he gets through six. He gets a quality start, only allowing one earned run. Only two strikeouts, a bit of an oddity. St. Louis is a team that doesn't strike out often. But with Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio. Shane going 85 pitches, 60 strikes. And it felt like after that third inning, both the Cardinals made an adjustment and Shane Drouin recognized that adjustment in that they were just swinging. And he was like, okay, I will stay off your barrel at all costs. And it allowed him to extend into this game. I know they got an insurance run in that sixth inning. But the way I look at today's game is, hey, Shane Drouin understood, you know what? They're swinging. I'm not getting strikeouts. Let's keep attacking the corners. He was not falling behind after that third inning. And quite frankly, I think this was one of Shane Drouin's best starts of his career, even despite the line saying three runs, even despite only having two strikeouts, because of the fact he kept the Brewers in it and he wasn't afraid to pitch in the strike zone.
Well, I look at this guy, Dom, 18th appearance, eighth start of the season for the Brewers and in his young tenure with Milwaukee here right now. And I agree. I thought it was his best start of the season as well. I mean, look, he looks so much like a veteran that has been out there for five, six, 7 years and has kind of seen the gamut of things, been through, division rivals. Been in playoffs, but he hasn't, he just hasn't. And so you look at a guy, some guys they're learning on the job and you have no idea because they're just so good at what they do. And I think this guy's only going to continue to get better and better. But tonight he just hit that mark for me where early on, the air giving up the unearned runs, maybe a little longer third inning. But other than that, I thought he was entirely efficient and almost dominant against St. Louis hitters. And you're right, making the right adjustments, challenging them rather than vice versa and answering the calls. So I really, really, really liked what I saw out of Drouin today.
The error you're talking about, he got a ground ball with two strikes and nobody out in the third. It wasn't going to be a guaranteed double play ball because Weatherholt runs well, but it should have been at least an out, and Terang ended up with zero. Granted, he got the next guy to pop out in Herrera. He would walk Jordan Walker, which is totally understood given the circumstances of how great he has been this season. And he got another ground ball on Velasquez. And again, I know it was a fielder's choice on a run scored. Maybe Hamilton should have come home with that throw. That's, again, maybe a more experienced third baseman would be prepared to do so. But and then after that, it was a bloop single on a changeup down and away on Jose Fermin. I mean, one ball was hit hard that whole inning, and that was the leadoff single by Pedro Páez. That's the type of inning as a pitcher. You look back and you go, okay, wait, how many pitches did I throw? 35. How many strikes did I throw? 26. How many hard contacts did I give up? One. I did my job. My defense didn't help me out. And then from there, he took that inning and said, okay, I've got this. 10 pitches, 9 strikes in the fourth. 6 pitches, 5 strikes in the fifth. And then only 11 pitches, 7 strikes in the sixth. And it was a sack bunt and a clean RBI single to score the third run of the game at that time. But again, he's throwing strikes, and he gave them length in a day that they really, 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 really needed it for this bullpen, given how gassed they've been as of late.
Yeah, they really needed the length for sure, and he gave them 6 really strong innings, no question about that. And I think, too, in that third inning and then onward in the fourth, fifth, and sixth inning, too. And the other thing is he just didn't change how he was going to pitch necessarily, even though some guys behind him maybe didn't make the plays that they could have or should have. He's still pitching to contact. He's still saying, you know what, these are the guys, these are my teammates, and I'm not changing my game plan. They're going to get there, and this score is not getting out of hand. We can, you know, just give this team a chance. And I think every starting pitcher will say that. They can't control necessarily the entire outcome of a game, but they can control when they're in it, and that's just so important. And that's where I say, you know, Drouin just looks like he's been there for such a long time, even though he hasn't. And that's just pretty amazing stuff and exactly what this team needs right now.
Amen to that. This text coming in from Mitch in Kenosha. Great win for the crew tonight. Although for a while I was thinking the Brewers forgot their bats in Arizona. Huge shout out to Matt Arnold to get Harrison, Drouin, and Hamilton all in the trade. Huge parts of the Brewers' success this season. I agree with that entirely. But hey, Chad Patrick also deserves some love today too, because I think the assignment today for Chad was maybe 4 batters, right? He came in for 9-1-2 in the seventh. He retired them all in order, then was probably just supposed to get Jordan Walker in the eighth, and then he struck him out on 4 pitches, and Ashby was getting loose for Newt Barr, and they said, no, Chad let it ride, and he went 6 up and 6 down today. For him to get back on track, especially the way he did on Friday night in Arizona too, you know, I think it's unfair to call Chad Patrick just sort of in between or just this long man, right? I think there's more to this swingman role that he's been in, because he can give you multiple innings like he did tonight. He can give you 3 innings like he did on Friday night. He can pitch in leverage against the top of the order in a 1-run game like he did tonight. He is becoming a Swiss Army knife, and the reason he did so is because his arsenal was a lot cleaned up today, I thought, Craig. I thought he was much more convicted. The cutter looked on point. And a confident Chad Patrick in this bullpen is just another piece that you can say, okay, there's probably 5 guys they truly have in trust. McGill, Ashby, Uribe. I'd throw Koenig in there still. I know he's been slow to coming back from injury, but he's going to be in that circle of trust. And Chad Patrick's probably knocking on the door of that circle of trust too, and nights like tonight remind you why.
Yeah, I mean, and look, when this season began, you know, these two names, Patrick and Ashby, they've kind of helped create what we're seeing right now in that bullpen, because they've just been that good and that reliable, really, for the most part. Let me ask you this, though, Dom. I'm just curious, because I thought about this the other day, you know, with Woody going down and, you know, not sure what the game plan is going to be. You know, if he returns, when he returns, and if he gets healthy, how they're going to use him maybe for one last regular season run. But can you foresee Patrick getting extended back into a starter type role versus this hybrid role he's in right now?
It's a good question, because the success, you know, it's a chicken or an egg, right? Is he having more success this year as a reliever because it's simplified and it's in shorter bursts, or could you lengthen that out and get more success like a starter, right, like he did last season, even though he didn't really have that success this year as a starter? I think the way the Brewers are leaning right now with likely, now they haven't announced the move, but Robert Gasser is going to start one of these games probably tomorrow or Thursday in this trip, in this five games trip. And they've also got Logan Henderson on the way back. So they do have two starter ready arms that can stay in the rotation and keep Chad as this Swiss Army knife in their bullpen. I think that's the direction they lead. And this is a lofty, I'm grabbing something out of thin air here real quick, Craig, but you know, he's sort of the right-handed Aaron Ashby, not saying that he's going to pitch every day, but when the situation calls for multiple innings, they're almost always going to go to Chad first. Whether they're ahead or behind, they can trust him in both scenarios, and they especially can see him glossing him into a leverage role, perhaps, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you know, I'm thinking all along here, he's so valuable the way that they've kind of created who he is right now. Why take him out of that role? Especially, you know, I'm thinking, you know, Henderson coming back as well. You know, Gasser's obviously fits that starter role as well. I just wonder, you know, as we go further along here, if some of these guys don't have the same success, could that be an option? It probably could be an option, but I agree. I think it'd be tough to pull him out of this role right now, because I think the Brewers have just, you know, created this, this new type of bullpen that we've seen this year with guys on multiple days in a week, being able to go multiple innings in a single game. Like, you know, Patrick can, Ashby, obviously, DL Hall did before he got hurt as well. So, I'm seeing him staying in his role more than likely.
Yeah, it makes sense. And footnote, this is becoming routine. Trevor McGill, another save. He's unscored upon in 20 of his last 21 games. He's been on a tremendous run, and it needs to be read into the record. It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Whether you had a day at the ballpark, a day at the lake, the golf course, come home to comfort with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Keep your AC running at its best with a midsummer checkup. Visit Sider.com, SEIDER.com, to schedule service today and stay cool all summer long. Let's talk about what this series really could mean for the Crew coming up next on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. Dom Catronio, Craig Kishon with you. Jeff from Elkhorn, good teams find ways to win. Great job by the pitching staff. I love that Drouin kept his poise and pitched great after a tough third inning. That's a huge step, and only using three guys really helps with a doubleheader tomorrow. This one from Logan. Brewers just continue to stack W's, and it's an amazing thing to watch. Bryce with a clutch hit made me happy, but then I remembered he's not an all-star. Still disappointing. Anyways, go Brewers. Alex from Oshkosh. McGill is 14th save. Back-to-back saves, too. And the Brewers won by one once again. Well, Craig, this is another thought about this series right now and about the importance of the Crew. The Brewers are now 5-1 against the St. Louis Cardinals. And a reminder, no 163. There's no more game 163. It's based on your season head-to-head matchup, best of 13, right? And the Brewers do not see the Cardinals again until the final series of 2026. It's kind of wild, and the anomaly that this schedule is that the Brewers go to St. Louis twice in a month. They come once in the middle of it. Then you don't see each other again for the entire second half until the very last series of the season. So the point I'm getting at here, Craig, winning game one of five in a row, you win two more of, you just win this series. You have won the season series head-to-head against these Cardinals in the event you end up tied in the same record with them. There are big implications for a series in July.
Oh, yeah, no question. And really, who would think it would be that way? But it just turns out to be the dominance that, you know, they've had over St. Louis, and, you know, they've had it over Cincinnati as well. But obviously the Cardinals are really a true contender at this point for that wild card spot. And, you know, if they get hot, who knows if the Brewers go into a slump, but it would be huge. There's no question about that, getting this series win. And look, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. You have to win your division first and foremost. That's step one. And within that, you just need to check boxes on, you know, getting winning series against those teams that are really directly competing with you. And this would be a huge step one if they could possibly take care of that here in early July before the All-Star break, mind you. That would be absolutely phenomenal stuff right there. And then you can start turning your attention, because what that does, you know as well as anybody, you can, when you're matching up against these other division teams along the way, the Cubs still obviously plenty of season left to go, you can start, you know, mixing and matching how your starting pitching is going to line up to make sure you're better off and have a better chance of winning those games as well. So it leads to a lot, and just getting step one would be just astronomical, really.
The Brewers have the best record in baseball against their own division, right? With today's win, they're now 16-6. Tampa Bay is right there on their heels as well. They're 17-7 against the East after losing today to the Yankees. And the Mariners are 17-9 against the AL West. So the Brewers are in first in that regard. And it's just a reminder that for the Brewers, I mean, you get 13 games head-to-head against the four teams in your division, okay? Those are the most important 52 games of your season. And to see the Brewers still sitting on one series loss to the Pittsburgh Pirates, but otherwise, they have a winning record against everybody else in this division. Of course, they get three more games with Pittsburgh coming up this weekend. I think that for the sooner the Brewers to set the tone heading into the trade deadline and say, hey, Cubs, hey, Cardinals, if you're going to add, it's going to be trying to add for your wild card aspirations. That's the goal right now for the Brewers, to make sure, obviously, to win the division. But on top of that, too, we're going to start getting into scoreboard watching season here, because the Braves, they fall today 7-6 to the Mets. The Brewers are now four games clear of Atlanta to currently hold a bye if the season ended tomorrow. And I don't have to tell you this, Craig, but I think you and I both know how important that bye was last season for the Brewers to outlast the Cubs in five games.
Yeah, I mean, postseason's so grinded out, you just don't know what's going to happen and how your pitching is going to be, how things stack up, how you stack up against your opponent. But it was so huge, obviously, with the Brewers winning the three games they did, all coming at home. So big stuff. And then you're right. You've kind of got to say in what the rest of the division is doing, if they are going to be competitive for the postseason as well, you can have a hand in that. So big stuff. There's no question about that. And you know, having your sights set on getting that division only puts you in a really perfect spot almost of grabbing either one of those top two spots, you know, to get that bye and then host, obviously, in your opening round.
Yep, the Brewers now with the win moved to 6.5 up on the division on the Cubs, who were idle tonight. The Cardinals now fall to 8.5 back. And the Brewers on the road, by the way, they're 27-15 on the road. They have the second best run differential in baseball. I mean, this is a really dang good team. While we sit here and complain about it at times, I think it's just a really fun time to be a Brewers fan. Well, Craig, this was my last show with you for the first half, so I won't talk to you for a little over a week's time because of scheduling, but appreciate you as always, my friend, and take care. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Yeah, appreciate you too, Dom, and have a good break as well, okay?
All right, happy All-Star break right around the corner. We still got a few more games to go from that. Craig Kishon joining us on 620 WTMJ. A little buy or sell there, talking about the division, talking about the importance of these games against the Cardinals. It's brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, wendorfteam.kw.com. Let's get to some text, some good questions in here talking about 27th man in the doubleheader, talking about IL potential for Hamilton. We'll hear from Pat Murphy a little bit later on as well, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers win again. You know, somebody was chirping at me on social media, which is why I hate social media. Welcome back. I'm Dominic Catronio. Complaining about how the Brewers are playing lately. And they are. There are moments that you can sit here and go, man, that's not like them. But to say that it's all crumbling down, because then when you look down and look oh, they've won 7 of their last 9 series while playing simultaneously maybe their worst baseball of the year, and they've still won 7 of their last 9 series. The standard has changed. It's pretty amazing. And I'm not saying lower those standards. I'm not saying that at all. But sometimes perspective is what you need to remind yourself there's 9 innings for a reason. This team's very good. They were late arriving today. No one shows up to a party on time. Now, this was borderline like, oh, are they even coming? Then boom, they show up and they brought in a 40-pack. Awesome. You know, they had a great time. Wow. They brought light. They brought energy when they needed it. Sometimes that's how the Brewers offense rolls. It can't be just from the jump. You can't burn up all the energy in the beginning of the party. That's a dumb analogy, but we're moving on. A couple of questions here. 855-616-1620. This one from the 262 is just a text. Great team. Nobody 1-9 in pitching and bench ever gives up. Longtime season ticket holder, present at game 7 of the NLCS, right there in 2018. This team is full of scrappers and fighters. Watch out, LA. Another one here. This is a question from the 715. With all the crunch of games coming up here, do you foresee a roster move, a DL move for David Hamilton and his hamstring injury? If so, who? It's a good question because on the 40-man roster right now for the Brewers, first of all, it's full, so you would have to make a corresponding move for somebody to get them onto the 60-day IL potentially, or do you, you know, you could still put maybe DL Hall on the 60-day. That means he's not back until the end of July. He's hopefully going to get on a mound here by the end of the next All-Star, at the end of the All-Star break, so maybe that could be a candidate there. You could also put Rob Zastrzyzny back on the 60-day, but granted, he just started a rehab assignment. I shouldn't say that. So they don't really have a spot available for a 40-man to be available, because down on the 40-man roster right now, they only have one infielder on the roster, and that's Tyler Black, and he's not a third baseman. You know, Joey Ortiz can play third, obviously. You don't, you know, want Cooper Pratt to play third. The backup shortstop now becomes Bryce Terang. Because the question then becomes, what about Jett Williams, right? He's not on the 40-man roster. You would need to create space for Jett if he's going to come up and if he's going to play every day. Now, they wanted to get imaging and make sure that everything's A-OK, but given the fact that they are up against it, you can't really play a man short with not only a doubleheader tomorrow, but these games that they're in a row right now. They would need to create a 40-man roster spot if they were to call up Jett Williams to replace David Hamilton. Something to monitor. I'm not expecting it, but it's just something to monitor. Another thing to ask about, and this is, I think, a fair question right now. What happened to giving Andrew Vaughn more starts and Yelich continues to struggle and he still hits leadoff? Can he maybe bat fifth? That's from Bill from Madison. You know, Yelly in the leadoff spot continues to confuse me because he's not drawing walks for the most part. He did draw a couple against Arizona, but the ground balls are obviously frustrating. He's just as frustrated as you. I watched that man take probably, this is an exaggeration, but you'll get the imagery here, 1,000 swings on the velo machine on the field with Daniel Vogelbach, with Jason Lane, and a couple of guys coming in to check in on him before the game. What was that, on Wednesday night against the Reds? Right, he is deep in the lab right now trying to get out of this funk that he's in. I don't think batting him leadoff helps him. I just really don't. I would like to see him bat fifth. The lineup then shifts where you put, let's say, Churio leading off, Terang hitting second. Then you probably put Vaughn or Bowers hitting third, depending on how you want to stack the lefties. Contreras is still my cleanup hitter. Yelich hits fifth. And then the other of Bowers or Vaughn hits behind Yelly. It's a pretty darn good 1-6. Then Mitchell right after that. It's pretty darn good. Will that happen? I don't know. Now, Vaughn, we also need to point out, he has slowed down. He's been a little bit slower against lefties in the last 2 weeks. It's sort of just a little blip. Sample size becoming standardized. I'm not worried about it in the slightest. But I think that the Brewers understand that they need to create some sort of consistent offense from the right side to complement all these lefties. It can't just be Vaughn, and who has cooled off. Churio's at the top of this order. He's doing his job. Contreras is an all-star. He's doing his job. Can you get a little bit more from the right side between now and the trade deadline is going to be one of the things that we monitor. And a text that just came in. What about Lockridge? he had to get cleanup surgery on his knee. He's out for a little while. He had to stop baseball activities. Hopefully he's back maybe by the end of the month to go on a rehab assignment, but I bumped into him in the clubhouse the other day, and he's moving, but he's just still experiencing pain in his knee. They had to do a cleanup surgery from that contusion, so he's not back anytime soon. All right, we'll take a breather. Let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next. We got to give a player of the game, though. Player of the game brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive into summer in style and save up to 15% on select in-stock models. Visit i8milwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. You know, it's easy to give it to Bryce for the go-ahead two-run single or to Hamilton for the two RBI double. But, dude, I got to give it to Shane Drouin. One earned run, quality start, six innings. Pretty darn good stuff. Chad Patrick deserves it, too. Trevor, the pitching staff deserves it. The Brewers' bullpen right now on this road trip has thrown 20 2/3 innings. They've only allowed two earned runs. 20 2/3 innings, two earned runs. That's an 0.87 ERA. They continue to shine for the crew. Pat Murphy's up next here on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win 4-3. Back at it tomorrow for a doubleheader with the Miz on the mound. Game one is scheduled for 2:15. It's a split doubleheader. Game two is to be at 7:45, or I should say 1:15 Central Time and 6:45 Central Time. Brewers get the win. The manager is happy. Also, an update on David Hamilton as he spoke to the media after the victory.
I thought Shane was great. We didn't help him defensively. You know, we made three misplays defensively tonight that one might look up and say only one error. You know, Bryce usually handles that ball, and we get at least one, if not two. Hamilton goes for the double play when it's an easy play at the plate, and. You know, then on that rundown, you got to get it out there. So I can critique that all day. But you make three misplays and it leads to, you know, one of the runs, if not two. We hit a line drive at the infield with two men on, runners in scoring position. Pratt hit a line drive, caught by the second baseman, and then Yelly hits 105. Right at the infielder with runners in scoring position with two outs. So we kind of hadn't everything go our way, but Chad Patrick came in for Drone, gave us two incredible innings. And McGill was great. McGill was great. So, you know, the bottom of the order did the job. And David Hamilton, two big hits for us. You know, Sal got a big hit. Pratt hit two balls hard and got a swinging bunt and, flared one in too. So he was on base a couple times and, you know, those guys at the bottom. G. Mitch on base three times, six and down, gave us the lift we needed.
Murphy, you have any kind of sense on Hamilton with his hamstring, if it's a bad one? Or?
Yeah, I don't know. As hamstrings go, you know, they usually take a little time, so I'm anticipating it's going to take a little time.
Did that happen as he made that quick stop?
As the turn. He said he felt it on the turn. Yeah.
Because of all these games coming up, is there time to get someone in? Is that a possible move?
Yeah, there's airplanes all over, Adam. It's a new thing we have. They fly from all over cities. You know. That sound facetious? I'm sorry.
No, it's.
I just didn't know if you knew.
Yeah,
you know
thank
mean?
You.
You're not here long enough to know. Like, you know.
Murphy mentioned Patrick. How do you describe the difference when you have that extra guy in kind of big spots? You can use him anywhere, multiple innings.
Confidence.
How it changes everything.
It changes everything. You know what I mean? With Uribe down today, you know, it just changed everything for the pen. You know, and not having to use Ashby, going with him in his second inning and getting out. All the big guys in the order is tremendous. Tremendous. This is a good team. There's a reason this team has played well above 500. This is a really good team, and they're playing as a team. They're really together, and, you know, their pitching staff has been, you know, especially to note, but their lineup. I mean, with the kid leading off, he's just got a beautiful swing. It's the first two kids in the order, first three kids in the order. It's like, that's as good as there is in our league in the order, you know, those first three. So they're all having huge years. They're all really capable. They're all very young and hungry. You know, they're it's very capable.
And do wins like
for Pat Murphy and his offense, yes, do they want more runs? Of course. But at the same time, like he said, the bottom of the order still did their job. Just because the top of the order didn't do their job doesn't mean the bottom half can't. And that's what I think we saw, the lineup balance come through in today's contest. So let's relive it with some highlights coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Opening up five games in 4 days in the Lou. Shane Drouin taking the mound for the Crew up against Dustin May, who's on a pitch count because of two shortened starts his last two outings, and he continued to be a riddle the Brewers could not solve. Meanwhile, St. Louis opened the scoring in the third with two unearned runs on an uncharacteristic error by Bryce Terang. It failed to turn a double play on a chopper to third that should have been thrown home. They had a pickoff, and then they didn't have a pickoff. Everybody got back safe. A two-run score in the third. Then a play that generated momentum that was inconsequential in the moment, but William Contreras deserves some love behind the plate for throwing runners out.
Out his first time. Runners going on a called strike. Throw to second. Strong Contreras. He is out. Church taken down off the base paths by William on a perfect throw.
Number 17 on the year for William. That's the most in baseball for caught stealings. It would be the last base runner for the Cardinals until the sixth. They would get an insurance run to make it 3-0, and then the Brewers offense would finally wake up. They started this day 0-3 with runners in scoring position, but then an infield single started the rally from Garrett Mitchell. Then a double down the right field line by Sal Frelick had runners on second and third. A swinging bunt for Cooper Pratt loaded the bases, and David Hamilton
comes
through.
Fernandez kicks the leg, 3-2. Fly ball into deep right center field. Back goes Walker, still back. He won't get it. It's in the gap. It bounces to the fence. Scoring is Mitchell. Frelick on his heels. They'll hold Pratt at third. It's a two-run double by David Hamilton. What an at-bat on the eighth pitch. He slugged that baby. 3-2 Cardinals. Still nobody's out in the seventh inning.
I mean, Ryan Fernandez had been one of their best relievers on the season. He didn't get an out in the three batters that he faced. So then it was Ryan Stanek. He walks Christian Yelich to keep the rally going. Churio had bounced into a fielder's choice, beating out a potential double play ball. So now, there's still only one out. Bases are still loaded. And the batter is Bryce Terang.
Infield's in the pitch. Line drive in the left field. That's down for a base hit. Tying run is scored. Rounding third base is Yelich, and the throw to the plate is cut off. Bryce Terang with a go-ahead two-run single. It's another big seventh inning for the Crew. How about back-to-back days? Big crooked numbers to come from behind. They lead it 4-3.
Then in the bottom of the seventh, Chad Patrick would emerge from the bullpen, giving Shane Drouin the rest of the night. He exits with the lead, and Chad keeps it that way.
Chad is set. Now the payoff pitch. Swing and a miss. 96 up the ladder. Goodbye. Sit down. Ivan Herrera. And Patrick just blew him away. 1-2-3 go the Redbirds.
He would come back out for the eighth inning as well. He'd go six up, six down in relief. Trevor McGill would have the ninth. He would allow a leadoff single to Mason Wynn, but now facing Nathan Church, he got him to pop out. Pinch hitter Alec Burleson, who's owned McGill in the past, got him to strike out. So the last batter of the game, a chance for back-to-back days.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Got him with the curveball. Trevor McGill slams the door in the ninth, and the Brewers take game one in St. Louis, coming from behind in the process, 4-3. Is your final.
All right, we got one lane highlight in there as the Brewers get the victory. They're 5-1 against the Cardinals on the season. Brewers get four runs on a total of just eight hits, one error. Cardinals, three runs on seven hits, two errors. Brewers left seven, Cardinals left six. The winner is Drouin, he's 4-2. The loser is Fernandez. He is 1-2. The save to McGill is number 14. All right, let's preview a doubleheader tomorrow, give you a quick little update on how the 27th man works on 620 WTMJ. All right, final couple minutes of the show, not even that, as I hustle through this. We know Michael McGreevy is going to pitch one of the games tomorrow for St. Louis. They are still deciding which game they are going to use for their 27th man to decide, okay, how do we want to roll with this? Remember, you only get the 27th man for one of the games, which is why it's generally a pitcher and thus a starting pitcher, meaning you use them for one of the games. They get moved back down to the minor leagues. They have to be on your 40-man roster. We know Jacob Mazurowski is pitching game one of the doubleheader tomorrow. Again, 1:15, first pitch. We also assume Robert Gasser is going to be one of the guys. You know, he is going to be a 27th man for this game. In game two is the assumption, and the also assumption is that he would start that game for the Crew. Now, I know that there's scattered storms in the weather app. Everything I've read indicates that I think, knock on wood, we're going to get both games in. I don't think it's going to be an issue tomorrow. It could be just one of those classic St. Louis little 20-minute blips and call it a day. So, doubleheader, 1:15 and 6:45. I will not be here tomorrow. So, I lucked out of a doubleheader. Sorry. Bob Brainerd will have post-game after game two for tomorrow's festivities as the Brewers get ready to go. Maybe can win the season series already with a sweep of a doubleheader. I will talk to you on Wednesday. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. Until then, keep on swinging.